Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
Welcome back, y'all. Week 12 Holy Try Football Pod preview special coming at you live. Thanksgiving is upon us. The college football playoffs are upon us. Big games, backload schedules are in full force, and we're ready to go. It's me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, the Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Check us out on Twitter, Holy Try Football. Send us an email. Rate us. Tell your friends anything you want to do. And check out my friend D-Berg out west. What's up, man?
Just happy. There's only two more days left of the work week. Not had a great one to date. Hopefully it gets better.
Better late than never.
Yes.
But never late is better.
Also correct.
Yes, the Holy Try has been, seems like we've been pretty busy this week. Talking has been minimum.
Yes.
As we push through these work weeks.
Surfing of the internets. Surfing of the internets has been minimal as well.
Mm-hmm. And to my northeast, Ken Zoo. What's up, man?
As you said, plodding through this work week. Weather is very strange, very warm Monday. Cool, very chilly yesterday, and then slightly warmer today. I don't know what to make of it, but I wish the weather would just make its mind up.
Yeah, I've been going full heater in the car on the way to work. And
full heater, wow.
It's 6:45, the sun's just sneaking up, it's chilly.
Oh yeah, it's real cold, especially, you have yours in the garage, or is it outside?
This week I'm out in the driveway, because I believe I'm a little earlier than...
Oh, yeah, that's rough.
My fellow garage mates.
That's cold right there.
Yeah, so the first 3 minutes, I'm just, it's all in your head, Ant. It's all in your head.
Yeah. put your mind in a better place.
Waving to the neighbor, walking the dog every morning, just like clockwork, It's little things.
Yep.
Like the Truman Show.
It's a good week, though. It's good. It's good to get busy. You feel older. We ask ourselves, is this where our life's going to be, Cam?
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
Indeed. And unless you've been living under a rock the last few days, yesterday the new rankings came out. So let's hop into some news and notes for this week.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Week 3 rankings are out. If you're still looking at the AP poll, that is... seriously irrelevant. I'm talking to you, Big 12. State your case how you want. But the rankings are out. Clemson 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Notre Dame 4. They stay the same. 5, Iowa. OK State, Oklahoma move up. 8, Florida. 9, Michigan State. And 10, Baylor. Thoughts and reactions, Mr. Dan?
Just fine to me. That's literally all I have. That is all I have. I'll probably have hotter takes after this weekend.
Yeah. Okay.
Ken, what do you think? I know it's gotta be just painful to see Notre Dame.
No, I think they deserve it as of now, but the erosion of the resume continues. We'll see where they stand as they continue with their schedule and other teams play what seem to be stronger teams. But we'll see.
I heard an interesting point. I think it was Stu Mandel was saying, would it be better for Oklahoma this week to only beat TCU by 7 so they don't fall out of the top 25?
It's similar. I forget what scenario it was, but there was some doomsday scenario in which some conference, I forget which one. Was it the Big 12? That if a team ended up scoring too much by too big of a margin, they would end up losing the conference tiebreaker due to some surreptitious tiebreaking scenario. But it seems backwards logic similar to that. That only seems to happen in the Big 12.
Only in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, the debate sparks on between with Notre Dame at 4 and Iowa holding steady. The better team, as Jeff Long says, at 5 ahead of OK State and Oklahoma. Just, I guess, if you're an Irish fan, it's good that Notre Dame's there, 4 for now, and Stanford only fell to 11.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Still need them to, obviously, you still need them to win out, for sure, except for that Notre Dame game. Iowa, just keep doing your thing. You'll have your chance against Ohio State or whoever it may be. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Is the committee going to punish Oklahoma if they beat two backup quarterbacks in a row? I don't know. That's an interesting point raised by Pollock. OK State, just keep going the course. You got a big one this weekend, obviously. I don't know what's going to happen. I really do not know. And how much will that Texas loss to Oklahoma come to
effect?
That's
a big one. That's a big one.
That's right a huge but everyone, one.
The thing that everyone keeps overlooking, though, too, is they're just assuming these teams went out. Like Notre Dame still has to play. I mean, BC, they should get by, but at Stanford, is definitely no gimme.
Well, that's what they're, I think, banking on is Stanford being a tough game and Notre Dame proving that they're good enough.
I agree.
And for what it is worth, I know that you guys feel or think that you know how I feel, but I've recently backed off of what I originally felt on how precarious Notre Dame's situation is. All else staying equal, I think I would lean towards Notre Dame over an Oklahoma for various reasons.
This is breaking news.
This is breaking news.
This is a hot take. I've rethought my position, and we'll see how the positions change in the coming weeks. But as of right now, that is how the Committee of Ka stands.
Sounds good.
Yes. Well, so with your permission, I'd like to move on from this topic.
Yes.
Granted.
Thank you. So I guess right out of the news notes, I just saw Brett Bielema pose a possible Big Ten SEC challenge. That would be awesome.
Steering away from the SEC, or his personal SEC Big 12 challenge with Texas Tech.
Yes, he does not want to bite off more than he can chew from Cliff again.
He is definitely steering away. He's definitely scared of Cliff. He's steering away from it.
That gas cover, he wants to bring it back up to Madison.
We shall see where that goes. Otherwise, news and notes, you guys got anything else?
Nothing here.
Nothing here.
Nothing there. All right, let's get
one small note.
Oh, good, yeah.
Hackenberg, not on the senior day list, so who knows if he'll be back.
Ooh, who knows?
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that he's not a senior.
Yes, thank you. I was thinking that, but I didn't want to rain on Ken.
No, I'm just saying, people that you know are going to leave have been announced at senior day, even though they're juniors.
That's right, that's fair. Well, yeah. Keep an eye on the offseason then, for sure. Extended preview time, guys, 3 games this week. We're going to go a little bit into first one, the battle in the Big Ten. Michigan State, number 9, traveling to the Horseshoe. Take on number 3, Ohio State. The Buckeyes, 13.5-point favorites. Big Ten can. What's up here?
Huge, huge line here. And I don't know if I agree with it. I think Michigan State, even though their defense has been suspect in the past, just about the whole season, I think they will come out with their backs against the wall and play very motivated football. Ohio State, you've seen them the last couple weeks. They haven't really put it together either, offensively speaking. They just last week were only up 7-3 on Illinois late into the second quarter, scored a touchdown before the half, and only scored their 28th point very, very late with like a minute to go in the game. So that was a close game. That's an Illinois defense that, what, gave up 39 points? Could have been more to Penn State. This is, for some reason, this Ohio State offense still has not gotten off the ground, and I think that'll be the case again. They're going to come out tight. I think people are going to be fired up and going to be emotional. They're going to get up for this game, but it's going to be tight. Tight game for Ohio State's on offense, and I think the defense for Michigan State will play better than we're accustomed to seeing them this year. Connor Cook is hurt. There's a reason why I think they're going to try to rely on their defense a little more. They're going to rely on their running game with LJ Scott and Mondre London. And I think they're going to keep this game close. 13.5 is a lot for me. I think Ohio State will pull away late, but Michigan State will score even later than that. and make it a backdoor cover for them. I believe Ohio State will win, let's say, 31-24.
31-24, Sparty covers. Dan, where are you going with this one?
Well said, Can. I'm looking at one particular thing to influence my pick, and that is the health of Connor Cook. I just don't think they'll have enough of a passing attack to really hang with these guys. And I think Ohio State wins. Maybe Michigan State gets a late score, but I think they win something along the lines of 28-14 and do cover the 13.
Big line. Big line.
Yep.
In the last 12 games as a dog, Michigan State is 11-1 against the spread with 8 outright wins. So you got to think they've definitely bought into the whole underdog mentality and come out and play with the backs against the wall, like Cam was saying. And yes, Connor Cook is a little banged up. The Ohio State defense is playing really well. And did you know Ohio State has won by 14 or more in 8 of their 10 games? And they haven't even looked that good. Sneaky end of games results here. I just think Ohio State's sitting on something. I've been thinking of it all year. I think most people have been. We're trying to pick our spots when they're going to finally break out. I feel like I've had a pretty good feel for this Buckeye team. Not really talk about them much, but when I do, I feel like they back me up. Dan, you did say the key for you was Connor Cook's health. Well, for me, it's just Connor Cook in general. And if I'm going to get one more chance to, you know, give my thoughts on him, you guys know where I stand with that. I think Ohio State comes out roaring. I do think Connor Cook is banged up a little more than what he leads on. He's a gamer. Obviously, he wants to play. The senior wants to go out in this big game. Anyway, is he a senior? Well, he's going to the draft anyway, so it'll be his last time playing.
He is a senior.
So I do think Ohio State comes out, takes advantage of that injured Connor Cook, and gets this game. Maybe not a huge, beautiful statement game performance, but they do cover in the end. Went by like 17, like a 41-24 game. But it does feel a little closer to that. I do think the underdog mentality will play in D'Antonio's hands and the team. Be inspired, the defense will step up, but in the end, JT Barrett, Ezekiel Elliott starts his Heisman campaign this week. Do not count him out. He might be my pick. 3 big games on the stretch. Kind of like it.
I like it too.
So there's that. Stay tuned for this game kicking off at, what's that, 3:30.
3:30 game, and game day is in Columbus.
Is Kirk and Chris, they're going to fly to Norman then?
I believe so. Or they might do the 3:30 game. They've done that before. They have done the 3:30 game before.
Well, for the sake of the pod, we'll go out of line here from our production meeting setup and say what they do fly Norman for number 18 TCU at number 7 Oklahoma. There's no line in this game because of the Dan, do you have a report from Don Best this week?
I do indeed. Trayvon Boykin is listed as questionable with the ankle injury that he injured last week against in that real dogfight against the Jayhawks. Stay tuned for more. Visit DonBest.com /NCAAF/injuries Saturday morning for your latest report.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they really have to do that. We do appreciate all they do for punters out there. Punters is an English term for gamblers, for you laymen in the gambling world. Doxson out. Boykin questionable. Even if he does go, I don't know. This Oklahoma team is a boomer sooner. You heard that train on the last pod.
Boomer sooner train.
Not sure what's going down here. Dan, how do you see TCU having any shot at this game?
No, not really. As impressive as Oklahoma has been since that loss to Texas, I know I cited it last week in our Baylor-Oklahoma preview, I see no reason for them not to keep rolling and, frankly, TCU not to stop reeling. So give me the Sooners, like, I don't know, 45-28, something along those lines. I don't think this is going to be very close. Regardless of what the line is.
It might not be. I mean, you need to sing your song, the Baker Mayfield song, if you want
to. No. I'll save that for the recap.
Ken, do you agree with Dan?
I agree with Dan. Oklahoma seems to be clicking at the right time. They've got the running game going yet again. Samaje Perine doing great things out of the backfield, really being a bull. And they got Joe Mixon in the mix as well. Sterling Shepard, fantastic as he has been throughout his entire career. And Dede Westbrook picking up the slack. Baker Mayfield has got this offense humming. The TCU offense, on the other hand, much of it that we've seen this year and last year is not. Without Doxson, it's clear that the provocateur, the spark plug that makes this team go, this offense go, is missing, and they do not know what to do. What makes matters worse, they got Trayvon Boykin dinged up, and you saw how that offense went without him last week, they're nearly losing to the powerhouse that is Kansas at home. Nonetheless, this is a team that seems to be unhinged. They came back and had the clutch victory over Kansas, but I don't know. Maybe a week of practice as preparing for life without Trayvon Boykin will do the quarterback Foster Sawyer better. But who knows? I think Oklahoma is going to win here, and it's going to be by a healthy margin. I think they're going to win 45-21.
Yeah, guys, we're all in agreement here. Oklahoma is definitely rolling right now, and I kind of two things. One, I don't want to agree with Clay Travis. He was saying TCU is going to end the season unranked, and they're very much on their way to that. And two, do you think Oklahoma might even be looking ahead the next week and just worrying about, hey, I mean, not Oklahoma, TCU. Like, hey, we're already out of it. We got to beat Baylor.
Yeah.
That could be, I mean, they're thinking we got to take a road trip up to Oklahoma, and they're playing well. We're a little banged up. Maybe rest up, get healthy, and just freaking get revenge. I mean, Eric Stryker and Zach Sanchez. Are going to be hitting hard. They're flying on the bar now. That defense is humming. The pass rush is really getting home. Boykin hobbled. We saw him play hobbled against, OK State and Kansas, or at least pressured, and it was not good. Doxing out. This is actually the worst spot ever for TCU. So I'm interested to this line does come out to be. I would not be surprised if it's like 16 at the end of the day.
Oh, dear.
Don't quicken. I mean, is that too much, you think?
I think so, yeah. I don't see it getting out higher than the Ohio State, Michigan State line.
All right. I mean, yeah. I guess I'm just thinking Oklahoma's going to roll. So I'll stay with you guys somewhere like the mid-40s to mid-20s. Let's say 47-24. Boomer Sooner, the train is rolling into Bedlam next week, where we go to our next game. Baylor at OK State. Baylor falls number 10, pretty much out of it. They don't really have a shot now. OK State survived Joel Lanning in his Super Bowl Richardson list, Iowa State, last week.
Super E Richardson. Full.
Oh, yeah. This game is a pick 'em, guys. I was a little surprised by that. I don't even know. Over under 78. Ken, how do you see this one going with Stidham saying he's going to go and Mason Rudolph and J.W. Walsh having that offense going?
Yeah, I don't know what to think here. Oklahoma State, very strange. Are we to buy into this TCU victory that they're hanging their hat on? Or without Doxson, are we to discount it again? Especially after this Kansas showing from TCU. Oklahoma State, despite that TCU blowout, has been very, very unimpressive in many of their games, playing down to their competition. You see them almost losing to K-State, pulling one out against Iowa State, pulling one out against in that huge, huge shootout with Texas Tech. They seem to play up or down to their competition, and I think that that's real dangerous, and I think that they run out of luck here. They've pulled a lot of stops out the past couple of weeks, and I'm sorry, Dan. Your pokes here. I got to get off the train. Guns not firing. I'm going to go with Stidham after another week of experience. He may be a little dinged up, but they're going to resurrect that running game against Oklahoma State's defense. I'm sorry, Emmanuel Ogba. And Corey Coleman will get going again. I like Baylor here to win. Let's go 41-31.
Oh, boy. Okay. Irish fans are happy hearing that because Cahen is always right. Dan, do you agree?
I disagree. I'm going to stick with the theme of these extended previews and bet against the injured quarterback, Stidham. A little nicked up. I keep telling you about these cowpokes. They're all grown up. They make big plays, and they play about mid-50s defensively in terms of rankings. That's good enough in the Big 12. Cowpokes, 45. Bears, 38.
You have been on this OK State bus for a little bit against us saying they're not very good. I do respect you sticking up for them. This, for me, is just the lesser of two evils. OK State, I don't think is that good. Baylor, I do not trust on the road. Over under 78, I wish it was just an ugly 24-23 game, but that is not going to happen. I do cannot believe I'm doing this, but you know, I think Baylor gets it going. Maybe this is just the wishful thinking in me. Ha-ha! But ideally, Baylor wins this game, and then OK State rebounds next week. And Notre Dame plays well next week. A lot can go on. I'm not going to get into all these contingency theories here, but I do think Baylor does bounce back and wins this game by a field goal, a game-winning field goal by a college kicker.
Oh, my goodness.
The OK State defense has just been thriving on big plays. Not necessarily the defense, but they've been creating big plays. Both sides of the ball, just big plays all over the place. If Stidham can just take care of the ball, find Coleman and Jay Lee and Cannon, and then get that shot pass blocking, they actually like charge the guys. Like they're run blocking. If they can just sack up and Browse can sell to them, their season's not over yet. That old man. Just coach him up, and you know what, Gundy, this is kind of the Gundy spot, even though they're at home. Maybe I'm just making that up and want to buy into that. But Baylor somehow ekes out a 45-42 victory in Stillwater and just throws the college football playoff into a complete tailspin.
Wow. Playing with fire with college kickers.
Got
me last week with that, with my lock. It's probably going to get me again. Oh, man. It is mid-November, guys, so the thunderstorms are pretty much gone because of the cold air and warm air meeting. But thus, our lightning round does not die. Hit it, Dan. I felt like one of those cheesy game show hosts there. Like, you know, like when Alex Trebek, somebody gets the wrong answer or pronounce something wrong, and he has to do it in some French accent. Like, shut up, man. What is, s'il vous plaît? USC. Notre Dame's SOS hinging on the 24th-ranked Trojans traveling to Eugene. Take on the 23rd-ranked Ducks. Ducks, a lot of steam here. 4.5-point favorites. Dan, what do you think?
Give me the Trojans, my national champions. Will not get there this year, but I do like them. Oregon's a little too fat and sassy.
Wow. AY likes to hear that. USC continuing to win. I don't know here. USC's been kind of teetering on the edge. I like Oregon here riding in that momentum over Stanford victory. I think they're going to win here at home in Autzen. Rowdy crowd. They're going to win here. Let's go 35-29.
I really want to back USC here, but I just don't think I can. Oregon is a little fat and sassy. Vernon Adams is playing better. In that home crowd, I mean, I watched that whole USC at Colorado game. They struggled until that second half. They came to this game. Oregon 38, USC 30. UCLA, Utah, big Pac-12 South game. UCLA traveling to the mountains for a 12:30 Eastern kick. Weird kick for a Pac-12. Kind of big game.
Get your body clocks ready.
Get it ready. The committee will take that into consideration, don't worry. Utah, 2-point favorites. Dan, what do you think here?
I like UCLA, plain simple. Utah's been exposed, and they just lost to Rich Rod and that hapless Wildcat team. Chosen one.
Ken, do you agree?
I disagree. Hangover effect is in full effect. Here, UCLA going on the road in that mountain air. Like Devontae Booker and the Mr. Flo at quarterback.
Trav Wilson, baby.
Trav Wilson will get the job done. I like them. Let's go 20-14. Ken is riding with the Utes again this year, this week.
Oh, the Utes again, okay. You know, Chosen Rosen, decent there. Go on the road. But, Dan, you did say it. They lost to Rich Rod last week. You got to see that coming. Rich Rod, you know how he is.
Oh, yeah.
So I can excuse that. And at the end of the day, Ken is always right. Dan, can you drop that lock button for me? Utah, -2, lock that up.
Lock it up.
Utah, you know, they're still playing for that Pac-12 South title. And Whittingham with that defense, and they're going to throw some wrenches at Rosen. Utah wins this game 31-17 at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Take that, Patterson. Utah, baby. They're coming for you. We gotta start talking bull to him.
Oh yeah, gotta get him off kilter here. We gotta get in his head.
You gotta win the jawing game.
Big Ten matchup here, guys. Number 20 Northwestern at number 25 Wisconsin. Whiskey laying 11. That's a lot of points for Wisconsin for maybe the most overrated 8-2 team of all time. Give me. We know his name, Clayton. The little Saving Silverman reference for those of you out there who like that movie. Clayton Thorson and the Wildcats lose this game by 9. 30-21. That's a lot of points, whatever.
I don't know about that. I need some strength of schedule from Northwestern. Let's go. I'm riding with them. They've had some close calls the last couple of weeks. They go into Camp Randall Stadium, and they pull a shocker here. Let's go 23-20 over the Badgers. A reemergence of the Yips for one, Mr. Joel Stave.
Joel Stave.
Joel Stave.
So we're both on Northwestern covering. Dan.
Make it 3. Agree? Too many points. I totally agree.
Way too many.
But
way
Paul
many.
Chris continues that bland 8-2, soon to be 9-2, soon to be 10-2 season. 23-19 Badgers.
Wow.
Yeah, right with you there. LSU and Coach Miles. Back-to-back losses traveling to. Number 22, Ole Miss, that Landshark D cut off a bye. Right, that Landshark D is nice and rest up after looking into wounds from that 53-point hog-tacular. This is number 4.5 is the spread. LSU, Ole Miss. Ken, who you got?
Oh, this one's tough. LSU's on a little bit of a slide here. They're going on the road to Ole Miss. I don't have much faith in Ole Miss either, though. I'm going to go with my Tigers here. They're going to get out of this funk they've been in. They're going to win a real ugly game here. 17-14 over your Ole Miss Rebels, Dan.
I agree. We were talking about Les earlier. He says, shove it, LSU faithful. 20-14. They completely stymie that Ole Miss offense. Tigers.
We agree on the side, but Ole Miss wins. Oh. I think the little red Fournette kind of stalls out again. It's a low-scoring game. The Landshark D comes to play. They bring their lunch pails, like Bud Foster would say. It's on a Frank Beamer All podcast.
Wow, the entire
let's just double-fist it. Let's double-fist it, Hugh Freeze. Ole Miss, 21-17. Sneaky cover. Landshark D, Chad Kelly, machine gun. And the last one, number 17, North Carolina, travels to the Beamer Field. If it's not already named that, it's going to be. Double fist, Beamer Field. Virginia Tech getting 6.5. I don't think double fist voodoo even matters here. Carolina wins this game by 14. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, I don't know if 14's even too much or too little. I'm going to go with UNC here. Maybe not the usual pace they've been setting the past couple weeks, but And they're going to go here and win, let's say, 45 to 21. And Dan, you can throw a lock on that one.
Lock it up.
Just pretty much pissing on Beamer's grave there.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. This team isn't good. Beamer should have been gone 3 years ago.
So much venom. Yeah, his swan song is...
I lived through the Joe Paterno years at the end where he shouldn't have been coaching either. So I know
you're allowed to
spot when these things are happening.
Beamer swan song is not a celebratory one. I'll meet you in the middle. 41-24, or somewhat in the middle, almost in the middle. Tar Heels.
Good deal.
But I will be rooting for the Hokies. Because on a much lesser scale, there are still Coastal Division dreams in my mind.
Would you rather be right, or would you rather have the Coastal?
I would rather be right. That's why I picked North Carolina.
So,
shifting gears to the Holy Try games, we're all back in action this week. Starting off in Happy Valley, Ken will be in attendance for Penn State, playing host to Harbaugh. 3.5-point favorite are the Wolverines.
The Harbaugher.
The Harbaugher is rolling in Happy Valley. Ken, let us know what we need to know.
Well, Ken has had an unusually large amount of time to get very optimistic. He's had over a week to get his optimism train going, and boy, is the inertia carrying it right now. Ken is very, very, very excited for this game for various reasons. It's the season closer, senior day for Penn Staters, and it's been an interesting season, one of building and one of growth. I think they're going to cap it here on the home schedule. I'll start off with the score prediction. I think Penn State's going to win here. Let's go 27-24. And I think it's not with two field goals. I think they miss an extra point. But the reason I get to this is because numerous factors here. I think Michigan, number one, is discounting this Penn State team pretty heavily. I think they're in a major letdown look-ahead spot with their emotional double overtime victory over Indiana. And then they've got the big one, the game, coming up next week. I think they're just glossing right over Penn State. They're looking ahead here to a big game that they have coming up just next week. Another thing here, Michigan, though with the emergence of Rudock, has had a declining running game and has had a declining run defense. Their defense has struggled in the last couple of weeks, giving them large chunks of yardage where they had not previously. Now, that's against what is arguably one of the top three offensive lines in the country in a team like Indiana. But Rudock's numbers, I think, are very much a product of terrible, terrible defense. Indiana's back seven, including their secondary, are probably the worst in the Big Ten. And the second worst, probably Rutgers, another team that he had a big day against. Hey, there's no disputing that Rudock has gotten better the past since the very beginning of the year. Beginning of the year, he was missing throws left and right, wide open throws left and right. I think he had like three wide open bombs that he missed at Utah. There's no disputing that he's gotten more comfortable in the system and he's playing better. I mean, he's been playing terrible, terrible defense the past couple of weeks, and this defense he's going to play is pretty good in the back seven, especially the secondary. Now, they're going to have some successes throwing to Jake Butt, the tight end. Penn State's senior leader, Jordan Lucas, is out for the season. Unfortunately, he will be missing senior day. I think this is where they're going to be vulnerable. He's been playing safety the last couple of years, and he would have been matched up against Jake Butt, and I think he would have done decently well, obviously giving up a lot of size, but he has the coverage skills. And instead will be Malik Golden, another, I believe, junior or senior now. He was one of those lower-rated recruits that Bill O'Brien brought in after the sanctions, and he hasn't really found – he's played a decent amount this year, but there's a noticeable drop-off between Lucas and him. Lucas has been on and off all year, in and out with injuries, and you see noticeable decline in play in the secondary when Malik Golden is in. Unfortunately, we'll have to deal with him the next couple of weeks as a Penn State fan to close out the season. Offensively, I mentioned this is a team, the defense has played well all season, but it's shown, starting to show a couple of chinks in the armor. You see them giving up big yardage plays, and both in the air and on the ground especially, which is where I'm looking forward to seeing if Saquon Barkley can have a day. He's continued to show that he's one of not only the top freshman running backs, but one of the top running backs in the nation. I put him firmly within the top 20 in the country. Just check his highlights out. I think that they're going to lean heavily on him, especially with colder weather coming. They're going to try to get that run game going. Hackenberg will not be asked to do too much, especially against a very formidable secondary in Michigan. They've got probably the top corner in the Big Ten Conference in Jordan Lewis. I think they'll try not to test him, but they're definitely going to need to have at least one or two big plays from Hackenberg. I think Penn State, with the bye week, will come out with a good plan. They've come out good in most of their games throughout the last couple of years. They've come out and scored first. I believe the Northwestern game was the first game in which they didn't score first, which is interesting to think about. But I think with the bye week, they will have a solid game plan. Obviously, the thing that has hampered this team and the coaching staff is in-game adjustments. And this is make-or-break time for James Franklin and his staff. They've generated a whole lot of excitement, especially with his recruiting classes. You know how magnetic a personality he is. But he hasn't really delivered on the field. It's been almost two full seasons now without a signature victory. This is a golden opportunity. You're coming off a bye week. Your team is expected to be prepared. I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to make a statement. Michigan's caught in a letdown look-ahead spot. If he can't take advantage of at least this opportunity, and if not this opportunity, the next one, you're ending the season with your last regular season victory in October. You're ending the season again on the slide, and you're going to lose a lot of momentum, especially in the coming months in recruiting. It's a huge, huge imperative for Penn State to win this game. I can't stress that enough. Otherwise, there's going to be large, large questions going into the offseason, and Franklin's seat will begin to get a little warmer next season, I believe, if he can't pull one of these last two victories out. I think he does. Penn State's going to win here 27-24.
Okay.
Penn State,
I like it,
wakes up the echoes of Bill O'Brien's late November magic, 20-17.
Wow.
I think we all agree here, guys.
This is unbelievable. You guys with the freaking reverse jinx.
We are just one steam engine spooning. Dan and I are spooning heaps of coal into Cam's train right now.
Oh, no. Ready to crash and burn off the tracks.
I think Penn State just gets it together. It's going to be not pretty. But they win this game something like 23-20. It comes down to the college kicker.
Oh, my God. We don't know who's going to be doing the college kicking.
That's what makes it so much fun. Oh, man, Ken, how happy are you right now?
I'm not happy. You guys just reverse jinxed me.
You're at peak optimism.
Oh, my God. Ken is at peak optimism until the game starts at noon. It's terrible, by the way. I hate that it's at noon. It's going to hamper a lot of the recruiting efforts for James Franklin. Not many. A lot of people that were trying to make it up aren't going to have the time to make it up now with the noon game. Terrible.
Could be better.
Could be better. Less than ideal.
Well, okay, good deal. Well, what is ideal for recruits is Pittsburgh's kickoff this week.
The dreaded 3:45.
Oh, what is a 3:45?
I don't know. They did that with a couple games last week, too. I think like the Texas Tech game kicked off at 3:40. I don't know what the idea is there.
Staggering it by 10 minutes.
10 extra minutes of tailgating, I suppose.
I suppose.
You suppose Pitt plays host to Louisville. 2-point favorites against the Cardinals. Ben will be in attendance for that.
Yep.
Tell us what we need to know.
Louisville, a team that has ever so quietly won 6 out of 7 since their 0-3 start, albeit not impressively, and also not against very good competition. But give credit where we in the ACC give credit where credit's due. So kudos to the Cardinals for bouncing back after the abysmal start to their season. Kyle Bolin should be the starting quarterback for the Cardinals, although I won't be stunned to see Reggie Bonifant nor Lamar Jackson behind center at some points during the game to pose a little bit of a running attack. Those who may recall, he made an impact and almost led them back against what is now a mediocre Auburn team first weekend of the season. Defensively, very quietly again, at least to my, did not get on my radar, a top 15 defense in terms of yards per game, and I think top 30 overall. So that has been the strength for sure. Their offense is pretty mediocre, which is atypical of Bobby Petrino coach teams. So I'm a little bit more concerned going into this with Pitt being able to move the ball on this team as opposed to stopping their average attack. I think that Pitt will try – I've been wrong the last couple weeks in terms of what was Pitt was going to try to do because they didn't control the clock against Notre Dame, and they didn't throw the ball nearly as much against Duke. So I think they're going to try and just hold on to the ball. I'm going to write that down in ink. It may change. They may try and go up-tempo all of a sudden and just limit the time that Louisville's playmakers are on the field offensively. Brandon Radcliffe, I forgot to mention him, very, very talented running back, toting the rock for the Cardinals. Keep them off the field and also try and wear down that Louisville defense. I think it'll be a pretty low-scoring game, and I also think Pitt will not come out victorious, and the point will be moot at that point. It'll be a moot point at that time because North Carolina will have already steamrolled Virginia Tech. So, with all that said, I am going with 23-21 Louisville Cardinals cover and win outright.
I disagree.
Ah, a little SOS.
Pitt wins this game and they beat Miami to get into the rankings, which could be – Pitt could be this year's Minnesota.
Could they be the key to the universe?
No, I think Pitt's a good team here. I like Boyd on the outside. Boyd's healthy, right?
Yes, yes.
I feel like he gets the ball every freaking play. He's always banged up. Mr. Peterman. Finds Boyd. That Louisville offense just struggles to find an identity, you know, with the ball end and Lamar Jackson, Reggie Bonifant. I think Pitt grinds it out here 23-20 with a sneaky cover.
Sneaky cover, okay. Yeah, I just want to add, too, I was just listening to Coach Narduzzi's weekly radio show on my way to the studio, and he was mentioning that it's kind of a breakthrough last week because they hadn't been up on anyone by 18 points all season, and he was leaving it because one of the questions that were raised were, why wouldn't he even put in a backup quarterback whenever you're up 18 halfway through the fourth quarter? And he said, you know, well, we haven't been playing with that large of a lead since then, so or since the season started. So could be seen as a breakthrough at Duke, but I think this Louisville team's a different animal. A Cardinal, to be exact.
A different Cardinal.
Not a devil, a Cardinal. So, what say you, Ken?
Lamar Jackson, he's an interesting cat. Great freshman down there. But the defense, the offense isn't really clicking. I think Petrino is struggling on offense, and he's got a rebuilding job there. I think maybe they pull one out here. Real ugly game. They ugly it up. Pitt might be sitting a little fat and sassy now after a big road win. Go Ellis. I'll go Louisville here, 19-17, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be tight ugly and low scoring. I think I'm certain in that.
Okay. I think it'll be a pretty solid game. Maybe I'll think that as well.
We don't need to preview Notre Dame Boston College, right? Notre Dame always takes care of them.
Okay. I want to. Nice shot there. Once because I have some numbers to tell you guys.
Okay.
So Boston College travels to Fenway Park as the away team to take on Notre Dame here in the annual Shamrock Series game with the crazy jerseys. Not a huge fan of this year's, but whatever. 16.5 point spread. Some numbers here on Boston College, all thanks to Jamie Uyama. He's an Irish Sports Daily insider.
Is he Japanese?
I do not know. I've never seen a photo, but he breaks down some numbers for you here. So Boston College, 3.6 yards per play on offense. That's dead last. 3.59 yards per carry. That's 113th, so it's not. They're improving. They have 90 negative yard runs this year. They've been tackled for a loss 90 times, guys.
Wow. Don't stop running sideways, you idiots.
But on the contrary, they lead the nation on defense with 98 tackles for loss. So maybe they just think they're playing in practice? I don't know. They've given up, 25 sacks, and the offense is scoring 17.3 points per game. Now, that's not a lot, but you got to consider they scored 76 in one game. So, in 8 games against FBS teams, they've scored 70 points. So, some quick math, that's what, 8.75? No. 8.16. Like 8.84 points per game against FBS opponents. Not great. But they're only giving up 13.8 points per game. This is truly remarkable looking at these stats. It's black and white, offense and defense, night and day. Cold and hot, hot and you're cold, yes and you're no, in and you're out, the Katy Perry song. It's all that. It's complete opposites. Only one team scored more than 30 points this year, and that was Clemson. The two current opponents are Clemson. They held on there, lost 34-17 in Death Valley. And the other current opponent was Wake Forest. We all remember that game.
We do remember that game, unfortunately.
That game was 3-0 for us to shoot down.
No, the BC had a chance to win the game there down at the end, didn't they? That goal line stand by Wake Forest.
Yeah, they fumbled there.
They really messed it up.
Let's see. They've given up 6 pass touchdowns all year, and half those were to Deshaun Watson. They've only allowed 5 rushing touchdowns. That's time for First Nation. They give up 2.12 yards per carry. They've only given up 34 plays with 20 yards or more. This defense is legitimately lights out. The schedule you get, Maine, Howard, Duke, and Wake Forest, not the best offenses of Tech, but still Clemson, Florida State in there, Louisville. Dangerous. NC State. So this BC team is definitely tough. They'll be coming to play just a stone's throw from their campus in Chestnut Hill. For Notre Dame, the same keys as every week. Run the ball. Although this week it's going to be really hard to do. Prosize, unsure of his availability. As of now, Josh Adams has looked great. And so last week he kind of looked a little... The whole team just looked a little sluggish. So maybe they'll bounce back from that. But in the night game, in a cool stadium, which is weird, both teams on the same sidelines. Yeah.
Will they play baseball?
I don't know.
That'd be Kaiser quite a tournament. Play
baseball, so I like our chances. This is one of those weird games. I do think Notre Dame plays well enough here, though. Run the ball. At least try and establish it. Stick with it. If you're not going anywhere, just at least stick with it. Set up the pass. And as always, find Fuller. He had a down week last week, so I hope he bounces back a little bit. Stay healthy, Kaiser. Hopefully he looks good. And get ready for Stanford next week. But first, definitely just take care of business against BC. No real updates on the Notre Dame side, because I feel like you hear enough about them every week. I think Notre Dame goes in there, takes care of business, and becomes the second team all year to score 30 on BC, and covers by half a point. Notre Dame 30, Boston College 13.
Wow.
Ken, what say you?
I don't know. I don't know about this line here. Notre Dame hasn't inspired too much confidence the last couple of weeks. No, but
that is factually correct.
That is factually correct. I think you're going to see a very, very bad offensive game, though, from BC. I think Notre Dame will win 28-6.
I'll echo that.
That works. I'm sorry, I spent too much time on this, but those numbers were just too funny to pass up.
Oh, yeah.
Would I be surprised if Boston College wins this game 16-13. I mean, probably a little bit, but...
Yeah, I will be surprised.
I will just shake my head and say it was meant to be before we get drilled by Stanford next week or something.
I'll find That'll a way be to, an interesting one.
Find a way to cope with it. But that's Saturday night. Tune to that NBC Sports Network, guys. A weird channel.
Strange.
I'll be watching that on my computer. We'll get to that in the plan section of the weekend. But first, we try to take down the Holy Tri Troll. He's been quiet lately. I kind of like it. Time for the locks of the week.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
That's right, kids. The troll is back in the USA. Did you miss me? I know the boys didn't. They're shaking in their whitey tighties after going 1-2 the last 2 weeks. But let's get into it. Hey, why? I noticed you moved to the over-under. Took the over last week, as in you're over your head in this competition. Danny, got one right this week. Flip the lucky coin again and let's see what happens. Hey, Cam. Called your parents, see if we could switch your name to Camp, as in can't make a damn pick to save your life. This week, I'm going with Michigan -3.5 over Penn State with your true lock of the week.
Lock it up. Dan, on the board, per usual, what do you got?
IU, fighting for bowl eligibility, goes into the unfriendly confines of Bird Stadium and knocks off the Terps. 37.
Is that a knockoff?
They are 3-point underdogs.
Wow.
Indiana +3. I'm going big here. I'm going 37-24. Who's your daddy?
Agreed.
You don't need to
tell me twice.
We made it like 45 minutes. Rutgers and Maryland both in the podcast. We were doing good.
You know who my game not to watch next week is going to be, though?
Indiana, Maryland?
Rutgers, Maryland plays next week.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. We're going to have to preview that.
You know, exactly what you think of when you think of season-ending rivalry, Maryland-Rutgers. Nothing gets more bitter.
Nothing. Ken, your lock was Carolina.
Yes. Sorry, Frank and Bud. You're going to be carrying – Bud Foster will be carrying Frank Beamer, a la his Twitter picture he just tweeted just to a couple hours ago, consoling him.
That's gross.
My lock this week, guys – I had I don't want to say deja vu, but I remembered where I came from. Remember what got me to where I was. I kind of remembered. Start from the square one. This week's lock is my darling Hogs.
No!
Arkansas, 3.5. The hook, I don't like it, but you know what? You can tack on another 12. They're going to win by this game by 17. Arkansas is going to beat Mississippi State 34-17. Their second straight game, playing a team off an Alabama game. And that's not easy. The whole Bruce Feldman body blow theory. We all know about it by now. Strikes again. My darling Hogs are this week's lock of the week.
Coach Brett Bellama.
Picks away. Just single barrel for me this week. But guys, what are we not watching this week?
If North Carolina beats Virginia Tech, do not watch Pitt versus Louisville on ESPN News. If that does, then do not watch Charlotte at Kentucky on the SEC network.
That's gross. Kentucky, is Kentucky sneaky bad?
Yes. Maybe not even sneaky.
Is Mark Stoops sneaky on the way out?
Sure.
I don't know. Sure. I mean,
is his seat hot?
They're probably so in there by the basketball program they don't pay attention to him.
True.
The Citadel, South Carolina.
Do you see the Thursday night game on the news?
That is, no, I don't see it. What is it?
Coastal Carolina at Liberty.
Whoa.
Sorry, no offense, AY.
Actually, you bring up a good point. Thursday night, we should all be watching Tennessee at Jacksonville. My Jaguars are right in the thick of the playoff hunt here in the AFC South.
No, that there is the game that I will say not to watch, because they will be wearing some atrocious uniforms that will make you think your television has gone on the fritz, because those colors are going to be bad. Yeah, they look like puke.
They are awesome. I love them.
They look like puke. You would love them. You love the weird brown, yellow, gross color scheme. Oh.
Ken is fired up.
AY loves the brown and the gold. And when they mix together, they become the Jags color that they're wearing Thursday night.
I'm just mad Wyoming doesn't play this week either.
You're mad Wyoming doesn't have those alternate uniforms.
why do Wyoming take the bye week second to last week of the season?
better than Arizona taking the bye week after the season.
Oh, goodness. I did not know that.
Guys, they're gearing up for – they got a home game against UNLV last game. They're going to win that.
Get psyched.
I might lock them up.
Oh,
good stuff there.
As promised, we will be making our selections for the Division II Football Championship bracket. Starting in Super Regional 1, Slippery Rock is a 2-seed in this one, but we've got the number 1 seed, Shepherd, and they will play the winner of 10-1, Charleston, West Virginia, and 8-2, Indiana, Pennsylvania, IUP. Who do you guys have in that matchup, Charleston or IUP?
Got to go with my boys in IUP.
IU Party.
IU Party for Ando. They're going to win.
I have some friends that went to Indiana, so I'll go them.
Also, I believe Jim Haslett's son plays at IUP, so got to go for the Penn State consultant as well.
Makes sense.
Actually, scratch that. I hope they lose so that he can stop going to those games and focus more on Penn State.
Sounds good. In the next contest, the home team, Slippery Rock, the 2-seed, 10-1, faces Virginia Union at 8-1. Who you guys got there?
Two reasons why I'm picking who I'm going to pick here. One, Virginia Union. Christian Hackenberg went to a Virginia high school called Fork Union. I'm going to pick Virginia Union here. But more than that, Slippery Rock has that terrible, terrible relationship with Michigan. And I can't pick Slippery Rock to win here, because that would be, by default, picking Michigan to win this week as well. They're not going to win. Upset Virginia Union.
AY.
I'm going to Slippery Rock here. I live in the Commonwealth, so is Dan. And Virginia's a Commonwealth, and I like our Commonwealth better.
I get Slippery Rock over the Fighting Ben Wallaces of Virginia Union. At the bottom of this region, number 3, Assumption at 10-1, facing the 6th seed, Bowie State at 9-1.
You know, two sweet names, you know, David Bowie. Assumption, that's a sweet name, though. I'm going to go, you don't just walk into the Assumption Dome, so give me that.
I will also make the assumption that Assumption wins.
Ah, well, you know what they say about assuming things, making an ass out of you and me. I'm going to go with Sam Bowie State here. Which was another assumption that he would be better than Michael Jordan, which was obviously stupid.
Alrighty, moving on to the next round in this region. Shepherd got the bye week. Can, in your bracket, they're facing Charleston. Who you got in that one?
Got to go with Dr. Jack Shepherd here, number 1 seed undefeated. He is going to lead them to victory here, just as he's going to lead them off the island.
I agree. The party ends at IU Party. I get Shepherd as well.
Yeah, I had a friend from Warrior Run High School, Chad Dixon, with the Shepherd. I'll go with them.
In the next matchup, Can, you've got Virginia Union and Sam Bowie State. Who are you taking in that matchup?
Got to ride with the lower seed here. Cinderella's going all the way. Let's go Virginia, not to be confused with Fork Union Military Academy, Virginia Union.
Can, with the 7th seed, heading to the semifinals. Or no, the quarterfinals, excuse me. AY, who you got, Assumption or Slippery Rock?
I'll keep this reverse drinks going against Patterson a little longer. Slippery Rock.
I got SRU as well, marching on and assuming they will win. I think they do. In the quarterfinals of the bracket, the finals of this region, Can, you've got Virginia Union v. Shepherd. Do they complete the miracle run?
This is tough for me to say here, but no, the Cinderella, the fit, the shoe does not fit. The clock strikes midnight. Shepard, Jack Shepard is going to lead them all the way off the island and into paradise.
Can going chalk. AY. Yes. Shepard v. Slippery Rock.
Is this the Super Regional 1 final?
This would be the Super Regional 1 final.
Yeah, give me Slippery Rock for sure.
Wow.
I'm going with the home team on the miracle run, heading to the semis.
Wow.
All right, we will spare the listeners the other three regions. So who you guys got coming out of Super Regional 4?
Super Regional 4?
Headlined by Midwestern State.
Oh. Oh, give me the... I'm going to go with the 4 seed there, Colorado State Pueblo.
I have my eye on them as well.
They got an absolute job, guys. They're the third-ranked team in the country.
Wow. 4 seed in the region.
Yeah, they're gonna get by Omdi. Omdi.
Omdi.
Isn't Grand Valley State a perennial powerhouse? Isn't that where somebody's playing? Isn't that where Chip Kelly is from?
I think Brian Kelly coached at Grand Valley State.
Oh, yeah, Brian Kelly. That's what I meant. Brian Kelly.
That's who I'm going with.
Grand Valley State.
That makes two of us.
The powerhouse in that one. Hell yeah.
All right, Super Regional 2. West Georgia is the number one seed.
I'm going to go with another team from Georgia there. I'm going to go with Valdosta State.
Oh, they're a familiar name.
Very familiar.
Notable alumni, Dana Holgorsen.
Ah.
Holgo U.
Did Greg Reed end up going back there after he got dismissed from Florida State? I know he's from Valdosta.
I do not know.
I don't know either.
Look that up real quick. Where did Greg Reed end up going? And I'm not going with Valdosta State, though. I got to go with Carson Newman.
Wow, Ken, have you been peeking on my bracket? You never go against someone with two first names. Give me Carson Newman.
Newman.
Hello, Newman. All right.
Where did Greg Reed go?
I don't know. I don't know. A listener look it up for us.
Yeah, tweet us. All right, Super Regional 3, the last one to complete the Final Four.
Who do I got here? I'm going chalk. I need to put some kind of chalk in here. Psych? Actually, no. I got to go with my bracket. Once you fill out a bracket, kids, you stick with it. A sheet of integrity. Northwest Missouri State. One chalk from this region.
My thinking exactly. Give me Northwest Missouri State.
I'm not. I got to go with Augustana. I love their music.
All right, moving on to the Final Four. Can, you've got Shepherd facing off against Super Regional 4 winner Grand Valley State, the fighting Brian Kellys into the Final Four. Who do you have advancing to the championship?
I got to go with chalk here. Sorry. Shepherd State, easy way to the finals. They had to play some pretty low seeds. Jack Shepherd makes it all the way through.
Jack Shepherd. All righty. AY, who do you got? And I believe you have Slippery Rock v. CSU Pueblo.
Yeah, this is easy. It's a lot more fun to say CSU Pueblo. Give me the Wolves.
The Rock is bowing out. Not in my bracket. Give me the Rock over Grand Valley State. BK will be beat red after this one. I got the Rock. And in the other semifinal, can... Carson Newman versus Augustana. Newman. Newman v. Great Band.
Ooh, that's a tough one here. You got to go with Carson Newman. I think that Southern speed gets him through.
AY, you have Northwest Missouri State v. Valdosta. I think this was a Division II championship not all that long ago.
I think you're right. I'm going to go with Valdosta State here in the upset. Give me them.
The Fighting Greg Reeds, confirmed. He did end up at Valdosta State.
And I am going with Northwest Missouri State. Number one team in the land, I believe. Heading into my championship.
I think the number one team is Ferris State.
Ferris State isn't even a one seed.
It doesn't make sense, Dan.
Does not make sense.
Forget. Just don't.
They are ranked second, though. Third, CSU Pueblo.
Throw
a four seed.
Throw the rankings out.
You want to talk about a committee not paying attention at all to the rankings.
and we march on to Kansas City, the Division II championship. Can, you've got Jack Shepherd versus Carson Newman.
Oh, I gotta go with the double name here. Southern Speed wins yet again. This has gotta count for the SEC title streak, right? Won like what, 13 out of 14 now with this victory?
I think you could throw that into the record book, sure. AY Pueblo v Valdosta.
You realize that your champion and my finalist play in the first round.
Sheet of integrity.
Sheet of integrity.
Well, guys, there's two things we need to know about my championship team here. The school motto is "See you here."
We can see you here.
And their nickname is the Thunder Wolves.
Oh, that's sweet. So,
yeah. They're going to crap thunder all over.
Gonna crap thunder!
So, AY, taking the Thunder Wolves of Colorado State Pueblo. What a name. What a name. I'll be honest.
What is a Pueblo Thunder Wolf?
That beats me. Here's a scenario before I make my pick. If Slippery Rock does, in fact, make the run to Kansas City, and Pitt does not, in fact, win the Coastal, this could be the road trip I've been budgeting for since mid-October.
Kansas City's got great barbecue.
Give me Slippery Rock hoisting the trophy. Zach Patterson's phone will be ringing off the hook. I get the Rock 70-66.
Unbelievable. Can you believe it?
I don't even think that's possible. 69-66 in triple overtime. Give me the Rock.
Oh, my gosh.
But is Zach Patterson, as the head of this amazing offense, will he be hired by West Virginia after Holgorsen is dismissed?
I don't want to start up any rumors, and I will be sure to ask it in our next segment in the interview, the exclusive interview with offensive coordinator Zach Patterson. I will inquire about that, Ken.
What job does he have his eye on next in this coaching carousel?
We'll also work that in. I'm sure I'll get some real coach speak from him, though. Via cell phone with the one and only offensive coordinator and my dear friend, Zach Patterson.
Thanks for coming. I'm a long-time listener of the pod, big fan of yours personally, and the other guys, they do a nice job, too, working with you.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. We need more people to feel that way. Crack that century mark in listeners. So I guess we can get right into it. I've got a series of questions related to your position as offensive coordinator for Slippery Rock, the season itself, and then your big playoff matchup ahead with Virginia Union. But I'll start with this season. How difficult was it to keep players focused with such high expectations coming into and then throughout the course of the season? I know you guys were – you were preseason favorites, correct, to win the PSEC?
We actually were picked second in the coaches' poll behind Gannon, which is something that I think motivated our guys to really kind of play a little bit harder, because we were the defending Western champions for 2 years, and then we were the defending conference champions. So I know our guys didn't take too kindly to being picked second, and they had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder to prove the coaches of the conference wrong. But we did have some preseason recognition for several individual players, as well as offensively as a team being ranked highly in some polls, but in the top 25 in the coaches' poll. So our guys, our team, our coaching staff, we knew the talent that we had coming into the season from returning from last year, and then the key additions we made in recruiting and things like that. So it really didn't make it too difficult. I know we had a little bit of a setback in our division opener versus Seton Hill, and I think that game was really kind of the turning point in the season, because it put our backs up against the wall a little bit. We knew we couldn't afford to have another loss in division play. So that really kind of got our team to focus both offensively and defensively and it just speaks to the character of our team.
Excellent, excellent. Sticking with the PSAC, who did you find throughout the course of the season was the most difficult team to game plan against?
Each team poses different challenges, and with the Western Division of the PSAC specifically, I mean, it's a grind week in and week out. Any team has a chance to beat anybody any given week, and so, I mean, it's always going to be a slugfest every week. And so, I mean, we just try to offensively find matchups that are favorable for us, put our guys in good situations to make plays. There's really not one specific team that is difficult. I mean, each one poses their own challenges.
Well said. Can't speak from experience, but I'm happy to have your insight on that. One last question, PSAC specific. Where was your least favorite place to play this week or this year?
I would say that's kind of a two-pronged or a two-answer question, and for specific reasons. The least favorite place for us to play is the two Erie schools, Gannon and Mercyhurst, because you're always in for a tough game versus those schools. And then in Erie, you never know what the weather's going to be like. Our game against Mercyhurst this year, we had all four seasons in one game. It was sunny and shiny and nice out. There was snow, there was hail, there was rain all throughout the course of one game. And then in the Gannon game, for the second time in a row playing in Gannon, it was a torrential downpour the entire game. So those two, just in terms of weather, you never know what you're going to get up there. Yeah. And then with those two teams, they're always going to be tough games.
Yeah, they definitely have some goofy weather up there in the snow belt.
Yeah, that and their boots are outdoors. They're not indoor boots, so I get to experience the elements of the team.
Oh, dear. We need somebody to make a donation up there. Get you guys some overhead.
Yeah.
Shifting gears a little bit, this is kind of related to the Division II playoffs. And throughout the course of the season, do you and the rest of the staff pay a lot of attention to the teams in the region that could potentially end up on the same side of the bracket as you guys and be an early round matchup?
We do and we don't. I mean, not for the first 7-8 weeks of the season, because it doesn't really matter what about the rankings or anything like that. You kind of follow along with who's winning and things like that, and who are the top teams in the other conferences. But it's not something that we focus on. We just take it one game at a time. But once you start to get into where they publish the regional rankings in the last week or two of the season, that's when you kind of start to look, okay, well, hey, here's where we might be seated. Are we going to get a home game? Are we going to have to be on the road? This year we were fortunate enough to get a home game for the first time since 1999. So that's something that I know our players are excited about, as well as our coaching staff.
Yeah, definitely. Let's get right into that game against Virginia Union. Just so you know, we did just pick our brackets on this week's episode. Can had Virginia Union kind of as a little Cinderella in Super Region 1. With that in mind, can you kind of talk about, I guess, give them a little assurance? Obviously, you don't think Virginia Union's going to win, right?
No. We have confidence in our team that we're going to be able to go out and handle business, but they're not a slouch. I mean, they made the playoffs for a reason. They're a very strong team. Defensively, they're number two in the nation in total defense. They only give up 221 yards a game. They lead the nation in tackles for loss. They have 31 sacks on the season, so they really get after the quarterback. They're great on third downs. They have a number of FBS transfers. They're going to be a challenging opponent for us on the defensive side of the ball. Now, our offense, conversely, is tops in the nation in a couple different categories as well. So it's going to be a good measuring stick for our offense or their defense, whoever's going to win that matchup. So that's something that I think our players are excited for, to go up against a defense that is nationally recognized as this one in the playoffs, to try and say, hey, we're pretty good on the offensive side of the ball, and we're gonna handle our business. But I mean, they're it's definitely gonna be a tough matchup. I mean, they're gonna be excited. This is their first time in the playoffs in 24 years.
Wow.
So they're gonna be ready. They're gonna be fired up. So we just gotta do a good job and just go out and out execute that.
Man, yeah, Ben Wallace was just a middle scorer at that time. And I was in the notes I sent you on them. I said outside of the fact that he went there, I don't have too much else. So that was great insight.
I'm a big Ben Wallace fan. So I'm excited at the opportunity to play his alma mater.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Just a quick follow up to that. Do you think? I know you mentioned their personnel. They get a lot of FBS transfers to come to their program. Do you think their defensive statistics are a product of the schedule they've played, or is it definitely that they have the personnel to match up with anybody in the country defensively?
I mean, they definitely have the personnel to match up. I mean, you can only play who they put in front of you, and I know the players don't have any decision in scheduling, so whoever they go against, whether it be out-of-conference or in-conference opponents, they've risen to the occasion and played very solidly on defense. So I think it's a product of the conference that they're in, as well as them having the players that can handle the business.
Gotcha. That's some good insight there, and I'm sure you guys will be up to the task. Now, I wanted to ask you before I let you go a couple of questions about your position specifically. You are the youngest offensive coordinator across all three college football divisions. Did you feel any sense of doubt amongst your peers or anyone you encounter upon accepting the position?
I wouldn't say doubt or anything like that. I mean, it's not something that I think about. I thank the head coach Mahalik for having faith in me and for the guys on the staff that work with me and everything like that. So it's not something that I would say I have doubt at all. I just try to, I mean, similar to a player, I try to give my best to the team as much as I can and just try to get better every day, do my job a little bit better every day. And I think that helps the team and just continue to learn. I mean, there are guys that have been doing this game that have forgotten more football than I know or than I will ever learn. So it's just constantly trying to learn different things, different tactics, and just grow as a coach, as a leader, an educator of young men and things like that. So just try to continue to learn from all the coaches on my staff and through different things and clinics and stuff.
Age is only a number, right?
Exactly.
Yep. You were a position coach the last couple of years with Slippery Rock. So how did you adjust to the shift from being a position coach to offensive coordinator? I know you kind of got some late notice there. The decision was made, in mid-August officially?
Just right before camp, so officially, yes.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit different from a standpoint that it's my name on the brand of offense that we play. So if things aren't going well, it falls on my shoulders, and that's something that motivates me to motivate the players and make sure that they're doing what they need to do. I think it's something that it's a different role, and I think establishing that sort of leadership aspect. I know as a position coach, you have a fair amount of leadership within your group, and you obviously got to coach up your group. But as a coordinator, you have to oversee everything. And also, it's kind of nice where when you have a good coaching staff to work with, you don't have to micromanage things. It's more of just seeing the overall picture and trusting that your staff is going to focus on the little details within each group.
Great. A couple more questions here. After the departure of Coach Longo, who I know in our private conversations you've spoken very highly of, he took the offensive coordinator position at Sam Houston State. Did you try to add any new wrinkles of your own to the offense, or really just focus on keeping the status quo and rolling forward what he set up?
Well, obviously, Coach Longo, he taught me the system that we use and things like that, but we're always trying to adapt the offense. The core principles of what we're trying to do are always going to be the same, but we're always looking to add wrinkles and adjustments to help the offense excel even more, and week to week it changes. Again, the core principles are always going to be the same, but the way that we do things, the approach that we use week to week in game planning varies with different wrinkles and adjustments. So we do the same thing, but we find little different tweaks to make things simple for our guys, but complicated for defenses to defend.
So you didn't try and implement the flex bone or wishbone like that, like it had in that book I got you for Christmas a couple years?
Oh, I definitely, that goes into learning. You've got to learn all different avenues and ways to do things, and believe it or not, we've used different principles of, I mean, we're a base air raid system, but I mean, with the balance that we have, we incorporate all different styles of ways to do things into our principles and our scheme.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Always keeping an open mind. Last question is on recruiting, and I know Kane will probably enjoy this bit. Going from position coach again to offensive coordinator, was there a heightened responsibility, or do you do about the same? Just kind of let everybody kind of gets their assignments, and you go out and try and rope in some talent.
Well, I mean, there's with the higher position, there comes more responsibility in every aspect, and recruiting is something that Ben is also one of those. Now, I'm also the recruiting coordinator, so it kind of falls under my umbrella anyways. But basically, now the whole offense, again, falls kind of under my eye. I have, in terms of offensive players, besides the head coach, I have final say on recruits. So if our position coach were to say, hey, I like Dan Brady is our number one receiver.
I don't know if anybody's saying that.
Well, you never know.
Still got some eligibility left.
Well, I think Patrick Brady is the number one receiver. Ultimately, I have the final say there. But really, there's not too many disagreements or anything on players with our staff. I think we all have the same vision and goal in terms of what we're looking for on offense. And I trust our position coaches a lot because they're the guys that ultimately have to coach these players up on a day-to-day basis in individual drills and things like that. But you know, we do a pretty good job as a unit, but I oversee all of the positional groups in recruiting.
Gotcha. Last thing, actually, I lied. So I'm sure you guys don't need any more motivation, but as I mentioned earlier, we did pick our brackets tonight. Can has Carson Newman over Shepherd. So not only does he have you guys not coming out of the region, but he's got Virginia Union the first round. It's a Michigan thing, I guess. The Penn State-Michigan thing never sits well. And AY has got Colorado State Pueblo over Valdosta State. So no mentioning, except for me. Of course, I got to go with the home team here. And I'm threatening, you'll hear this in the rest of the pod, but I am threatening to make the trip to Kansas City if Pitt does not play in the ACC championship, which seems inevitable at this point. So I got this big road trip budget here, so bring it home. Good luck this week. Like you said, one game at a time, and I appreciate you coming on.
Well, I appreciate the call and the opportunity to come on. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the pod and to AY and Kansas. With your guys' brackets, you guys picked Clarion against us, and the division championship there. So I don't know, man. That's a little messed up. So hopefully we can prove you guys wrong. Your guys' lock for the week hasn't been too sharp. But maybe you won't get this one right either.
Never go against the home team. All right, take care.
All right, thanks, Dan. Yeah.
Good deal. You guys just heard from Mr. Zach Paxton. We thank him and appreciate him for coming on with us. Dan, good work there conducting that interview after hours, dark, as we say.
Conductor Dan.
No problem.
Conductor Dan. As we wrap up this week 12 preview, check us out on Twitter, Holy Try Football. Send us an email, tell your friends, give us a rating. Guys, what are you up to this weekend? I will be kicking it. This is a big weekend for movies for me. Possible Oscar Best Picture winner. It's going to be nominated. So, Dan, you'll be seeing this at some point.
Yep.
A movie called Spotlight with Rich McAdams, Michael Keaton,
Ray Donovan,
Mike Ruffalo. A bunch of people in this based on a true story. Check that out this weekend. It's like theaters. So, I'll be viewing that as well as Room with Brie Larson. She'll be up for Best Actress. Brooklyn's in. A lot of things. Best Actress this weekend. will be off the hook. And I'll be in Baltimore Saturday with Steve Roth.
Excellent. For
Miguel Cotto, Canelo Alvarez boxing match, taking in football, and drinking beers all weekend.
Excellent, excellent.
Ken, you're going to Penn State, right?
Yep, big game this weekend. Excited for the season finale up in State College, Pennsylvania. Looking forward to it. Should be a great weekend.
And Dan, heading to the game.
Heading to the game and then watching the Steelers bye week. So just heading to the game.
Don't forget to tweet us this weekend, guys.
Yeah, check us out.
Clear out some space on that favorites bar that you have in your internet browser. Firefox, Google Chrome, clear out some space in that favorites bar.
Keep your eyes peeled for Holy Tri football shirts walking around. You never know.
You never know.
And we appreciate you guys listening. I know this is a long one, but we feel like this is a pretty good one, guys. Maybe put something good together here. Certainly. A lot of fun tonight. And we hope to see you for the review show over the weekend. But for me here, AY, coming to you from the beautiful state capital, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is better than Virginia. And we'll talk to you guys. And for Dan out west.
Good night, all.
In Kansas, New York City.
Adios, amigos from Pueblo.
Pueblo. Thanks again for listening, guys. Tell your friends and have a good one.